quite well until the Activities Association changed their approach to academic cost aid and doubled or tripled the numbers, which is a good thing for the kids. But it makes it a little bit difficult to recognize all those kids with their parents in a board meeting. We had been inviting them there and giving them certificates at the end of each season. But I don't think that's practical anymore.
Yeah,
we also...
I'm not sure it was real... I wonder if the kids thought that was just a burden rather than an honor.
They think that way about most things that don't involve fun
and maybe
activity.
Get student input on that, but it seemed like we didn't have real great attendance.
We also recognized state championships or state level awards, and the state level awards for kids taking first place or high honors were very infrequent, so that wasn't really a problem doing it that way. But we did have several teams with a lot of members on the team, and we tried to give those awards, those certificates, and again, the turnout wasn't very good with respect to those either. And then some of those teams are really quite large. You might have 25-30 kids, and again, you want to invite your parents, but it can get a little bit overwhelming. So I think we need to still honor and recognize these achievements, but we need to do it differently. One idea is each of our secondary schools will hold award programs. We could do it that way. That's the way we used to do it. But that was sparsely attended as well. Now I think Emory High, I'm not sure about Green River, but they hold award assemblies at the end of various seasons and give out awards there, the Academic All-State, for example. So we could have a representative from the board or the entire board maybe go to that and hand out those certificates at that program. And give those kids some positive feedback for the work they've done. It's symbolic. It's not.
I think I like that that would be in front of the student body as well. Just maybe I'm just biased, but I think that kind of Gulf State is a. I think it's a big deal. If you can get a kid to all the time and effort they put into participating in all these activities and still maintain grades enough for what they require.
I've been trying to think if there was something, now this is going to sound silly, but I think on an elementary level, like the ticket to go to the front of the lunch line, is there some activity perk we could give those kids that singles them out as having put forth their pitch effort?
We used to do that at Emory High. We used to give prime parking spots or things like that. There aren't a lot of prime parking spots left.
Yeah.
I tried to find a parking spot at Emory High today, and there was nothing. All of the prime spots are scarfed up pretty fast, but I get what you're saying. A little bit of reward, maybe gift cards to a Subway or something like that. Maybe we could even get a sponsor to donate some gift cards of that nature. Some school districts do a board-sponsored awards banquet at the end of the year, where they would not only recognize the student high achievers, championships, academic all-state, but also they recognize the teacher of the year and some of the adult awards that they wanted to give out and hold it all in one. I think Carbon does something like that, don't they, Jenny?
They do two separate, a student one that's mostly focused for students.
And then the adult one.
So is the student one a pizza party?
You know, it's sponsored by someone and they feed them. They make the, it's a big deal. And,
they get. It's a
full
sit down meal
and parents are invited and students are recognized.
Is
the
good
way to sponsor
something like that?
So
our student rep, do you have ideas?
Ideas?
What do kids like?
Kids like anything they can eat, I think.
Anything
edible will attract kids. A pizza party sounds great. I guess it just depends on who we can get to sponsor the banquet. Like if you can get our place or if you can get, I don't know.
BK's.
Yeah, BK's or something like that.
Yeah, any of those do pizza.
Well, it's getting the kids there. That's because you do it in the spring and there's always a lot going on right up to the end of school. And even then, you would risk not knowing who the state champions would be in the academic all-states. I'm not sure at what point they announce those. But then you also have a lot of other things going on at school that would compete with. Well, if we did it the last week of school, spring sports go right up to the middle of May. The last one typically is state track, but then you just have a lot of other things going on, a lot of other award programs going on where a college organization is finishing up the year. So, but we can look into that and look at some possible dates. If we got something scheduled, then get it calendared and then start preparing for it, maybe we could avoid some of the conflicts.
Well, and even a lot of your spring sports and things, I mean, the schedules are made, basically. I mean, so you could even look at those dates to have an idea. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you'd like me to do that, I can look into that further. And also check with the schools on when they do the quarterly program, award programs, which I think is a little bit more practical. As Tracy said, you're going to have the entire student body there because it's during school assembly, and maybe a certificate and a gift card or something like that might be just as meaningful to those kids.
Back to Connor, what do you think?
What?
A year-end banquet, would you rather better versus the quarterly
or the assembly and kind of a gift card kind of a thing?
I think a year-end banquet would probably be better because I feel like the like whole prize thing is kind of just, you know, if you have good luck, you might get it, or like if you might get a gift card at quarterly. Because I've been doing stuff for all 4 years and I've never won anything.
Well, this wouldn't be you would win one. It would be give one to everybody that was.
Oh.
So, all, you know, every student that was academic all-state would get a certificate and a gift card from the board.
State champions.
To recognize them. Or we could do more of an end-of-year banquet kind of a thing.
They honestly sound like equal to me.
So.
I think we should just flip a coin and then decide.
And it might depend on if we get sponsors and stuff, too.
Yeah, it could be pretty.
Yeah, I think if we saw who could sponsor it first, and then if nobody making food can sponsor it, then we'll have to just go to the gift cards or something like that.
Kind of like build the program a little bit, not program, but just start with the quarterly recognition for all that. Then, you know, if that's, we get good response. Then go on to it.
Elevate it a little bit more.
And then kind of build on it a little bit, maybe.
It's a good idea because this last year, because of how dynamic things were, we really didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
After several years of recognizing those students and So that might be a good way to kind of ease back into it.
So start out having whatever board members can attend the quarterly assemblies, and then we can present them. So do you think somebody would be willing to sponsor, I mean, would Subway sponsor something like that for gift cards or our pizza or, I mean, any?
Don't know. They get hit up pretty hard.
I know. They get hit up to sponsor everything.
I think we could probably handle a gift card. You know, a full-blown banquet would be a whole different thing.
Yeah, I think the gift cards are a better idea, too, because I feel like it's more rewarding if you're rewarded in front of your peers, but if you're at a banquet, it's just the people who also did sports. It's not showing the kids who didn't do them, like, I want to be them, I want to do that. So you want to do it in front of other kids so that they're inspired to, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think the gift cards are a great idea.
Here's Emory High history. When I was in school, the Letterman's Club had a banquet every year. And if you lettered, you were expected to be there, and you wore a suit coat and a tie, and you brought a date. Now, I don't know about the dating. I don't know about the dating thing, but that was required then. And it was a very serious banquet, and it was a big deal. I don't know that that really is the solution, but an assembly every quarter means more time out of class.
But that's what you're already doing. It might be not quarterly, but it's the end of each season.
Well, occasionally, but what about, just throw this idea out, what about doing it at halftime of a football game or basketball game or something like that, where you have lots of students, but you also have members of the community?
I did that when I was principal.
I remember, that's kind of the
idea. But that's when we had maybe three or four academic all-staters, and it's pretty easy to set up, but you might have 20.
Yeah.
What would you do for spring sports? Oh,
yeah. We already have an awards assembly that we do.
I like
it. But that's in the evening.
It's kind of attended. At least a couple of years ago.
It was better this year.
Was it?
And one thing that helped is the talent show that kind of goes along with, there's a talent show in the awards assembly. The talent show's been dying out. And so I told all of the kids in my musical theater class they had to perform at the talent show. And we had 20 numbers. It was their grade.
I'll look into it, Casey. Talk to Steve and Casey about it.
I mean, we have the activity period to do these things.
Yeah, so Larry will kind of follow up with the principals and see what, because we also have to consider what's going to work for their classroom schedules and item number 2 on our work session is Ryan, the big long policy review.
Give us the cliff notes.
Give us
version.
The
all right, the abbreviated version,
the abbreviated version of that.
For as long as I can remember, we've been using discrepancy to identify students with a specific learning disability, and that discrepancy is based on testing their achievement scores as well as testing their cognitive scores and putting it in a program that estimates with a magic number whether they have a disability or not. That is no longer a method that's okay to use in the state of Utah, so we are doing an alternative method, which is called Patterns of Strength and Weaknesses. Patterns of Strength and Weaknesses means it's more professional judgment. You still use the data, use the test, you use multiple forms of data. You determine if the student's achievement and cognitive deficits are in the same area, which wasn't required before. you determine if it's a normative deficiency or versus their peers, as well as an interpersonal deficiency, which means are they performing lower in one specific area versus how they perform across the board. If they perform low across the board, doesn't mean they don't have a disability, but it may mean that they have an intellectual disability rather than a learning disability. So to switch to this method, it requires data brought in, it requires professional judgment of the individuals to determine, does this student have a disability? Being 3 years behind in school may look like it is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have a disability. But by these teams meeting and determining whether they do or don't, even if they don't qualify, using the data, you can design interventions to meet the individual student needs. So the majority of that 52-page, whatever, document,
55.
Is 55-page, is policies that are already in place, that are already specific to any method we've ever used. The only difference is the identification, switching to PSW from, or patterns of strength and weaknesses versus discrepancy. And that's the only available method that really works for us. So that condense.
Awesome.
Perfect.
All right.
Do you have any questions for Walter Dragon?
There's nothing that contradicts what the rest of our school policies are then?
Nope, completely compliant.
Okay.
State model, we just do specific to us what assessments we use that are not state assessments, and really we just we use DIBELS in fourth and fifth grade, which is not state required, but we continue to use that, and all the data that comes in can be teacher related. The other part is within there we put chief privacy officer, which falls to either Doug or myself, who's in charge of that personally identifiable data. That is it.
No other questions. I believe we will have this month to review it, and we'll be able to move it to an action item for next.
Yeah.
Good to go there.
Okay. Maybe just remember? One clarification. If you're right, it'll take that long to put all the reach. So my understanding was then charter school students are exempt.
Exempt from identification.
Right. Did I not hear that?
No.
I thought it said private schools were not, but charter schools were.
Should be the other way around. So maybe I put that in backwards, with charter schools being public schools following the same regulations because they receive federal funding.
Okay.
If they don't take federal funding, we have no obligation to follow IDEA. So if we didn't take federal funding, we could do it our own way without any of that.
I'll look at it again and see whether it might be for you.
Okay, yeah. No, it could be mine. So.
It's probably mine.
Gives us the next month to read our 55 pages and ask for
riveting
reading and see if there's anything further in there. Just a couple of school board notes, just reminders. USVA Leadership Academy, Marie and I are planning on attending on September 14th, that weekend, whatever it is. But it's like 13th, 14th, 12th, 13th,
right in there.
Something in there. Anyway, so Marie and I will be attending that, so hopefully for next meeting we'll have some things to share. Hopefully really cool new things we learned what to do. And thanks to Jared for helping get that arranged. And Corey, she's not here, but I know she was...
I was going to say I didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, I say I know Corey called and was making some arrangements for us as well. The other reminder, I just want to remind all the board members about our community councils. Last year we discussed we should all be attending our community councils for the schools that we represent. I kind of feel bad because Emory High had one like right off the bat and I missed it. It was like first week of school or something crazy. And anyway, so I need to get back on my scheduling here.
Was a good meeting.
Was it?
By the way, regarding those community council meetings, new law requires that in at least one of those meetings, an agenda item needs to be a discussion on school safety with representatives from the district office. And at that Emory High meeting that Tracy missed, We had an excellent discussion about that. I was there, Yvonne was there, Carrie Lake was there. Am I missing anybody? And we talked about upgrades in school safety there, some of the pending upgrades, and then some of the things that we simply can't do at this time. But it was an excellent discussion. We'll be doing those at all of the schools in at least one community council meeting.
All right, so everybody be better than me and find your community council agendas. I went to find them, and a lot of them are not set yet. I went online, and yeah, most of them aren't set yet, so I was going to include the agenda or the dates, but
the secondary ones, I believe, are all set.
Are the secondary ones set?
I'm not sure about the elementary ones. But I guess just for your information then, next week on the 12th, San Rafael has theirs set for 12:30, and the 16th, Green River is holding theirs at 5:30, and then Canyon Views was, I can't remember off
I've,
the top.
I've got those on.
I was going to say, I can't. Oh,
they ran out. Blah, blah, blah. They may be there now. It was probably.
Uh-huh. It's the 25th. It's on the board bulletin that I gave you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, it was probably a week or two ago that I went to the schools and looked them up, and they weren't there. So I'm sure that a lot of that's been done since. Thoughts or questions or comments about community councils? Okay, September announcements and events. Just what I mentioned to you guys before, this is just something I kind of wanted to start doing, just so that we're kind of aware of what's going on in all of our different schools and some maybe events and announcements and things that we can participate in. I've got a pretty good list, so everybody that has an agenda, they're all on there. I'll just give you a really quick rundown. Casadel Elementary is hosting their first Lego League robotics team for 4th and 5th grade students. That'll be fun. They said on your agendas there's more detail. I'm just going to give you the highlights. Cottonwood Elementary, they're going to be doing a reunification drill shortly. And they're also having a parent night on September 18th to talk to the parents about safety and drills. Cleveland Elementary, they've been doing a lot with their social emotional learning and literacy, especially with the new hire, your social worker that's stationed out of Cleveland for our school district. Mrs. Gagan has also implemented some Caught Being Good rewards and some fun things that are going on in her school. Emory High School, a few announcements. This week is their safety week, so they're going to be doing some fire drills, earthquake drills, etc. September 11th, they have a first aid CPR training for any district employee who is interested. And then they also have some suicide training in all of their language arts classes. And then don't forget about Homecoming Week, Beat Carbon, and parent teacher conferences are September 25th. I also had, I don't know if I can find it, Doug Meekham sent me from San Rafael. On September 9th, some of their students will be helping the American Legion take down the flags for Peach Days, to build the flags for Peach Days. And their parent teacher conference is on Thursday, September 19th. And Monday, October 7th is going to be their choir concert. Just some events to be aware of. Anything I missed from guys that are representing your schools? And then I don't have anything from Heather because we're going to have her do a whole spiel on her own. So we didn't worry about we didn't worry about her gathering
hers.
Got
to write
hers.
Something down.
Yeah,
right.
She's going to give us the whole rundown. And then lastly, just, you know, the current activities. You know, I know golf, volleyball, girls, soccer, football, girls, tennis, baseball are all going on. And then, Neil, maybe you can help me. You don't have any competitions going on yet? Or
any which?
Any competitions or any of your activities going on yet?
The first debate meet, which I'm not in charge of debate
right.
anymore, but the first debate meet will be September 21st,
okay.
and that will be held at Emory.
When's your first play, Neil?
We're going to be doing some plays at the end of the term. Those are out of my beginning drama classes, and they're one-act plays, just a night of two nights of one-act plays. But then our first musical will be on in November, the weekend of before Thanksgiving, as usual. We've had a play that weekend for that'll be 37 straight years.
But that
will be James and the Giant Peach. And we think we have enough money that we can, if elementaries are interested, we could actually travel with that and take it to elementaries at no cost to them.
Then I think we're ready to move on to our regular session. So we'll go ahead and call that to order.